Hey, Tom Hartman here, and KBOO, Community Radio for Portland and Beyond, is bringing me to Portland. I hope to see you Friday, November 22nd at 7:30 p.m. at Powell's on Burnside in Portland. My new book is out, The Crash of 2016, and I'll be giving a talk and signing books at Powell's, so be there or be square.
Hi, this is Per Fogring. Friday, November 22nd, I'll be hosting the Morning Talk radio show. We'll discuss the Kennedy assassination and theories about who done it and why. That's Friday, November 22nd at 8 a.m. on KBOO, your radio station.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Merrill Hurst University's five part-time MBA programs designed for adults who are seeking to enhance skills, revitalize career potential, and gain new knowledge that can be applied at work for the next day. December 5th evening information session, details at merrillhurst.edu.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up.
Good morning, good morning. I'm Joanne Hardesty, and welcome to Voices from the Edge. As you may have heard, Portland Police Bureau members are currently reviewing a contract that was negotiated by the City of Portland and the Portland Police Association. That contract, you may know that the last contract expired June 30th of 2012, and so Portland police officers have been working without a new contract, even though the old contract remains in force until the new one has been approved by both Portland Police Association members and by the Portland City Council. In a meeting earlier this week, in fact, I had asked the mayor what was given up in the contracts, because you may remember in the last time we had contract talks for Portland Police, there was one little thing that was added to the contract called a fitness bonus, which ended up being $750 for each and every police officer that had their finger pricked and and their blood pressure taken. And each of them got $750 bonus just for that purpose, not for what the public thought they were getting the bonus for, which was to actually be in shape so they could stop using excessive force. Now, so this week has been very illuminating as to some of the details of the union contract that is under discussion with Portland Police Association members. And so Portland police officers are reviewing a contract that, one, would actually negate drug testing for steroids of Portland police officers. In fact, the argument made by the PPA president, Daryl Turner, was that Portland police officers should not be expected to know all the ingredients and supplements that they take. And so, therefore, if they happen to take something that has steroids in it, it's not their fault. Which is ludicrous because the public could use the same argument for using illegal drugs. The experts, and there are many experts in this field, but one expert, Dr. Lynn Goldberg, head of OHSU Health Promotion and Sports Medicine, said, "If you test positive, you test positive. It's an illegal drug." Quote, unquote. It's not rocket science. Why is steroid testing important for Portland police officers? Well, you may remember that the Department of Justice came to town, did an investigation, and found that Portland police officers use excessive force on people they believe have mental health issues or that actually have mental health issues. And in fact, the Department of Justice is requiring Portland police officers to document every single use of force, which wasn't taking place before the Department of Justice came to town, even though the settlement agreement has not been filed as of yet. And so why is this important? Well, because since the reports, every 3 months, Portland Police now has to produce a report on their use of force. And as of September 30th of this year, there were 112 cases of use of force by Portland police officers against someone identified as transient, mentally ill, or both. 112 cases. In comparison, that's up from 93 3 months before that, and 76 3 months before that, January 1st to March 31st. And so if you look at the quarterly numbers, what that tells you is that the aggression of Portland police officers is increasing, not decreasing, on the street. And so to give Portland police officers a free ride for steroid use just seems insane, especially at a time when the Department of Justice is really scrutinizing the use of force of Portland police officers. And for my listeners, if you want to read this information yourself, you can go online to Portland Police Bureau's website and look at the reports under Department of Justice information on the use of force, and they are posted. They're posted on a regular basis, and that information is available to the public. And by the way, if you want to join the conversation, you can give me a call at 503-231-8187. And so for me, that's kind of a pretty egregious thing. I just can't imagine the city council going along with a contract that says we're just going to wink, wink, nod, nod, and pretend that if Portland police officers are using steroids, that that's not a fireable offense. It should be a fireable offense, and if it's not, then something's wrong. Something's really, really, really wrong. And so that's one piece of the contract. And you may remember, we only started drug testing Portland police officers under the last contract, and probably not more than just the last year, the last year and a half, because it took them a long time to actually figure out how to drug test Portland police officers. And one of the most important drugs we wanted to make sure that Portland police officers were not using were steroids. Because no matter who you talk to about steroids, all the professionals say that it increases aggression in the people who take it. So why would we write into a contract if steroids happen to show up in some supplements, that's okay? It is the most appalling. It's one of the most appalling things. I feel like I'm saying this is the most appalling thing I've ever heard just about every week when it relates to Portland police and our lack of oversight of them. One other thing that I found out just today when I came to KBOO looking at the Portland Mercury was that we still have Portland police officers working, being paid by private corporations, even though there is a rule, a directive that was issued in 2009 by then Police Chief Rosie Sizer that discouraged contracting for primarily security functions for the sole benefit of a corporation / establishment and are focused solely on the interests of that business. Well, come to find out, there was a contract signed by Portland Police to work for Ross Dress for Less downtown as security. And in fact, it was approved by Assistant Chief Larry O'Day, and it was signed by Commander Bob Day. They said that this was an exception. This was an exception to the rule. What troubles me about this is that if we start allowing private businesses to be able to hire Portland police officers to patrol their properties when they're off work, then there's a huge problem with that. And the huge problem with that is that they're focused on that business and that business need as compared to the community that they've sworn to protect and serve. It sounds like we have a caller on the line. Hello, Joanne. Welcome to KBOO.
Hello. You know, I guess a lot of people laugh at me, but I don't care. You know what should be supported for the police to do for their health, et cetera, and also for the so-called mentally ill? We should be supported and to use, well, everybody, to use acupuncture, herbs, and body massage, and all kinds of alternative medical things for our health, our mental or whatever. We should be encouraged and supported and money spent on it. But I know the way this country is, it's macho and military, that this thinking probably will not take over where it should. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Joanne. Appreciate your call as always. You know, if the Affordable Care Act worked, we're supposed to be able to get all those services you say that we should be using. But since we can't sign up for it online, if you try to do it at the national level, they kick you back to Oregon, and Oregon's system is a total failure. So I hope we figure something out about that sometime soon. But focusing back on the cops, the thing that's appalling about having department stores hire cops as security guards is that Portland Police sees this as an example of community policing. Now, think about that. It was actually a quote from Commander Larry O'Day, who is quoted as saying, "Police officials apparently see the contract in which a private business pays uniform officers to cater to his need as an example of community policing." So I'm really a little confused about who makes money off of these contracts. Now, I understand that the officer is working when he is off duty from Portland Police, he or she is off duty from Portland Police, being paid by a private business owner like Target, but they're in uniform. And so there's a perception that they are there in their capacity as Portland police officers. I think that that's a can of worms that we need to nip in the bud right now. 503-231-8187 is the number to call if you want to join this conversation. Good morning, Brian. Welcome to KBOO.
Yeah, good morning, Joanne.
Good morning.
And at the risk of sounding redundant myself, you know, it's just somebody who's lived here for 5 years. It's just amazing to go out into the community and see, you know, our police force. And, you know, Portland, given its problems, and we do have some problems here, but we're basically a pretty benign community compared to a lot of places in the country. And but you know, if you look at our police force, you know, they look like a bunch of road warriors.
Yes, they do.
You know, and unfortunately, probably it's just a minority of them, but there's enough to see that you know, they do look like, you know, they look like they're out of some Arnold Schwarzenegger movie or something. It's ridiculous. And you know, the bottom line goes, it doesn't present a good image for Portland. And I think if you know, the police force seems to depend on a vocal minority who is very cynical toward Portland as a sort of progressive society in America, and it's you know, I mean, it has to change eventually. And I don't think, Joanne, in all due respect to you, it's going to change through these meetings and, you know, and all this. I think it's just going to have to be sort of just taken out and shaken out and completely redone. You know, and there's a lot of people who need to go.
You know, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, I am a person that always has an inside-outside strategy. Mm-hmm. I'll work with the powers that be as long as I believe that the powers that be want to change. But, I mean, I don't know how much stupidity we can continue to take from our current police chief without massive changes taking place. Like, he needs to go. We need another police chief, somebody that's committed to making the cultural change that must happen in Portland Police Bureau. And this whole mindset of this occupying force coming into communities to take over. as we can see with the increase in the use of force. Now, why would the use of force be increasing at the exact same time the Department of Justice is paying closer attention?
Exactly, and I just think it's a matter of, you know, them seeing how much we can, you know, they can get away with and how much we'll take. I do have one more thing I'd like to interject here.
All right.
And you know, I think this kind of feeling is starting all over the world, basically, is like, this is not working. This system is not working,
yes.
Period. And there's no way of, you know, the salvation. I think the prophetic thing that I read back in the 80s, and I want to use Abbie Hoffman as an example, you know, before Abbie Hoffman's tragic death, you know, he said in one of his books, and in one of his last books, he said, you know, I've worked in this system, and I always believed inside out, same as you, Joanne.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but at this point, and this was back in the late 80s,
right?
He said, this system is so bad and so corrupt and so broken that we're going to have to all just stand back and remove ourselves from it,
you know,
and let it fall.
You know, over the summer, as we were celebrating the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington, it really reinforced for me, 50 years ago, people were willing to put it all on the line.
Exactly.
And I mean, there were young people who left school, left jobs, didn't know if they would survive going and participating in the March on Washington, but they did it. And they did it because it was the right thing to do, right?
Exactly.
Are we going to get to that point where we're going to be so fed up we're going to do that again? I hope so.
Well, you know, a lot of things have come up on this Kennedy assassination anniversary.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people are calling it the Kennedy murder.
Right.
And John Lewis from the representative
Congressman,
from Georgia,
right.
who was on the King March, you know, last night on Tell Me More said, you know, when Kennedy died, you know, it was so impactful on every movement.
Yes.
And you know, there was a... And when Martin Luther King was shot, there was a direct, you know, consensus by the right wing in this country to stop everything. You know, all the protests and, you know, all the movements, you know, black hippies.
Oh, yeah. Can you say Contel Pro?
And you know, and there was somebody else on NPR yesterday saying, you know, this is actually, or it might have been Cable, this has actually worked. You know, I mean, these people have been consciously trying to stop any kind of liberal-based movement in this country.
And it's been people within our government. I mean, ContelPro was government-led, government-run. It's been the police force. If you know, it's like how many people went to jail because the police said they did something, and then DNA tests, when that came out, all of a sudden you have all these people being released. Because it was a police force that was corrupt. Thank you for your call.
Yes, and have a great day.
You do the same. We got lots of callers lined up. So if you want to join the conversation, give us a call at 503-231-8187. Hello, Edie. Welcome to KBOO.
Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, Edie.
I'm thinking that when we have police working for local businesses, or transnational corporations, they're committing a felony, impersonating a police officer, committing fraud in taking money, pretending to be something they are not, which is an on-duty police officer for the city of Portland. They're violating their contract because we want them to have rest in their non-working hours so that they will be clear thinking and be fit. It's fraud about the fitness program, and when it comes to the training center at the airport, it is a secret training content. The public are not there, and what they're training them to do are things we do not want them to do, which is to look at us as if we are the enemy in an occupied territory.
Exactly.
Instead of community policing, which would involve them, for example, being at PCC campuses, interacting shoulder to shoulder with the public, and learning what are our needs in earning our trust? And if they don't earn our trust, of course, we're not going to confide in them or we're not going to collaborate with them. If they have those weapons with them, we are to make sure that they are trained that they will not use those. We have to get rid of all those who use steroids and other drugs, get rid of all those who commit domestic violence, get rid of all those who are not passing the mental health tests, and get rid of those who are losing their proper standing. We also need to keep records of those who are doing an excellent job, because the records are purged. We don't know who are the good guys. Well, we don't have that recorded, and the bad guys keep getting away with it. We keep on spending the same money on the same criminals over and over and over.
And there's no accountability for that. It's like, no matter how much money we pay out in settlement agreements, Portland police never do anything wrong, right? So there's a disconnect somewhere between the people who pay the settlements, us, and the people who caused the settlements to be paid, the Portland police. And so I think it's appalling to say we're earning money at Target. Protecting Target's property is community policing. How insidious is that? How arrogant
is that? This is an international or an outside corporation that is not trying to respect our rights or even our laws. They're not paying their taxes. They're not taking care of workers or the environment or anything else of our existing laws that Target is violating. So I think that we need to get back to who is our community policing, who has legitimacy. In Greece and in Argentina, the local folks are just saying, hey, we're, and in Mexico, there are folks that are saying, we are protecting each other. We are our own police force, and we are not going to keep funding this militarized occupation enemy.
Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate your call this morning. I want to get back to this Target contract. As per the Mercury, in November alone, according to information obtained from the Mercury, there were 21 different days. There had been offered shifts on 21 different days Portland police officers had, especially during the busy shopping weekend around Thanksgiving. They paid Portland police officers $63 an hour when a senior officer could be paid to work overtime. Just one eight-hour shift amounts to an extra $500 in gross pay. Again, it's like, and the quote from Reese is, well, I'm going to reevaluate this contract sometime next year. What is wrong with him? How can he be so disconnected from common sense and logic? 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Hello, Joe. Welcome to KBOO.
Hey.
Hi, Joe. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me okay now?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I tuned in a little bit late, but it sounds like the subject matter is mostly just the Portland PD then?
It's the Portland Police contract, the new contract that's currently being considered by PPA members.
Well, one of the things that they should give them on the steroid thing, I don't want cops using steroids, anybody using steroids, because they become angry, aggressive, and easily provoked.
Exactly.
But they should be testing for that, and they should also... If the cop comes up with below 10 nanograms of per deciliter of cannabis in his system, don't worry about it, as long as he's not under the active influence of any drugs. Because right now in our society, booze actually messes you up for work.
Right, a lot longer.
And if you use the right kind of cannabis at the right time and give yourself enough space between the time you use your cannabis to the time you go to work, you're actually much better off mentally because you've had a good night's sleep. Alcohol messes up your REM sleep, your rapid eye movement sleep, your deep sleep that you need to be, cogent the next day, to be actually awake and alert. And if you don't get that REM sleep, and I saw a study on this on TV, CBS Morning News did it. They did a sleep-deprived study, and they did an alcohol study and had people do everything from driving around in a parking lot with traffic cones and doing other functions, and the people that were 0.08 alcohol actually fared better than the people that were sleep deprived. But I know in our society, and you know, I've seen a lot of boozing going on with cops, too. And, I mean, we got a real problem with booze in this society, that's for sure, of overindulgence of that. But I'd rather see a cop, instead of going home and having a six-pack or a couple of brews and then getting angry and hostile, because a lot of people should have the following tattoo on their forehead that says, instant a-hole, just add alcohol. And there's too many people that fall into that category. So instead of the typical average working schlub, whether he's a cop or whatever occupation he has, instead of coming home and having some booze, let them vaporize a little bit of cannabis. And there are so many varieties of cannabis that not every type, you know, certain types of cannabis you wouldn't want to use at all, you know. They're for specific medical purposes. But if these people, cops, you know, factory workers, office workers, whoever wants to come home and unwind, they're far better off with that. I mean, look at how alcohol is promoted in this country, and it's disgusting.
So I think we're going off track, right? It's really about the contract and what Portland police officers do on the job. I don't want to control people's private lives, but what I want to make sure is that when a police officer is in uniform, that he or she is not hyped up on steroids, that they also have been able to pass drug tests, that they are operating in a way that is safe and respectful for all community members. And if we have police officers that even if they test positive for steroids, nothing will happen, that's appalling. There is no other police force in the country that has this kind of stipulation in their contract. And if the city council allows this to go into Portland's police contract, even with the record already showing that aggression is increasing in Portland police officers, then the buck will stop with them. And the next death, the next injury of a community member will be on the hands of Portland City Council. The phone number to call if you want to join the conversation is 503-231-8187. Hello, Sherelle. Welcome to KBOO.
Hey, Joanne.
Hey.
Thank you. I think your point is getting across, and it's well made. I don't think we need people on steroids with guns. And when I go into Ross, I don't go into Ross anymore because it's just like an armed camp. And I notice that particularly the stores that have more low-income people like me shopping, we have to go through this long line ordeal, and then there's security people everywhere, and it's increasing at Target, too, along with Ross. And it's just like you've come in here to shop, so you're a suspicious individual. I don't go there anymore.
Right.
And I just support your efforts, and I want you to know that my friends and my family, we donated $1,000 to Portland Cop Watch recently in your honor also for your efforts. And if there's anything, any further community effort that you need funds for to help keep the community safe and positive, we'd like to help with that. We want to honor you also because you're a powerful, important voice for our community. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. What a kind, kind thing to say. Appreciate your call. Appreciate your support of Portland Cop Watch. We certainly need many more people stepping up to make the changes that we have to make. This is our community, and we can have the police force that we want. So thank you so, so much. And, you know, and I know that every man and woman within Portland Police Bureau is not bad. But when the people who are aggressive, using steroids, abusing their power, being allowed to work in uniform for private corporations, when that's happening consistently and other people aren't standing up saying that's wrong, then that means that you are supporting what's taking place. If you're not standing up and saying this is not right, this is not acceptable, this is not the kind of police force we want in our city, if you're not doing that, then that means the status quo is working fine for you. If you want to join this conversation and figure out how you can fix this problem, give us a call at 503-231-8187. Hello, Mark. Welcome to KBOO.
Yes, hi. Thanks
hi.
For taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm not quite sure how I feel about the police at Target and so forth. I'm sure it could be handled differently there.
And that's just another job waiting to happen. So
well, I mean, but there's
don't need to be there. But right. my thing is, I love KBOO and I've listened quite a bit. But I think the police all over in any city, big city, are going to be beaten up because they have an incredibly hard job, and not just in Portland, but all over the country. Different things, huge seismic changes have to occur. But in order for them to occur, the police understand and they get this undercurrent of hatred, us against them. And I really don't think anything will change until all of us try and come together somehow and come to some sort of consensus. But right now, it is us against them. And I appreciate what you said. By and large, most likely not really knowing that much about the police, but I've had nothing but positive experiences, thank God, with them. And I'm sure, as you just said before you took my call, most of the police are upstanding, regular, normal.
I didn't say most. I said some. I didn't say most because I don't know. I said some.
I don't know either. I hope that that's the case. And I would hope also that more young men and women go into it because they have a respect and a sort of a want to engage in the common good. And I think the more we prop them up, like teachers or nurses or any sort of embattled sector of the workforce, you know, the better our relationship will get. And I'm no naive guy. I know that there's a lot of wackos out there. But, you know, it seems that KBOO could prop up the police a little bit more, and when good things happen, perhaps you could report on. Thank you very much. I'll take your comments.
Thank you. I appreciate your call, and I absolutely agree that when police do good things, I certainly can compliment good behavior. Unfortunately, what I see is a pattern of really egregious behavior and then it being justified by the police chief, the police commissioner, and then by our pretend oversight, our independent police review that isn't independent, doesn't review anything, and actually calls itself an oversight of the police bureau is what we have. So the bottom line is when police officers do great things, and there have been a few, I would definitely report on that, but it's becoming more and more clear that we have the wrong leadership. We have the wrong person in charge of the current police bureau, because the data shows that the results that we're getting are not the results that the community wants, not the results that the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division expects, not the results of a community that's that has a community policing force. So we're going to go back to the phone line. Hello, Peter. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi, Joanne. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I joined in a little bit ago. I don't know if this has been addressed, but my question is, if I go to Target and I have a police emergency that requires them to go outside of Target, can they respond?
That's a really good question. I would say no, because they're actually on the clock for Target. They're not working for the city of Portland.
So, in a sense, they are, to use a crazy term, false advertising by wearing their uniform?
Yes. That's absolutely, and quite frankly, I think what I find egregious about this is we have a lot of unemployed people that would be happy to have a job in security. And so the fact that we would have well-paid Portland police officers taking up those positions in uniform, to me, is just wrong. It's just it is false advertising, as one previous caller said. You walk in expecting this is a city of Portland police officer, so if you need police services, there he is right there. And then what you find is, no, I'm actually on the clock for Target. I can't really help you with your city of Portland problem.
It's misleading.
Yes,
I think it should be brought up in the council, and they ought to have a different uniform if they actually do get paid to be there.
Or they should put something on saying, I'm on the clock for Target. Maybe they'd have they need a button that they would say.
An armband or something. Uh-huh. Yep. Okay, thank you so much. Joy.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. I think I'm more aggrieved by the new contract that doesn't fundamentally fix what I believe is broken in Portland Police Bureau's contract. You may know that every time we've tried to fire Portland police officers in the past, under different administration, we were always told that the union contract didn't allow us to fire officers. So here are some things that I thought should be changed in Portland Police Association's contract. One, the 48-hour rule. You may remember the 48-hour rule provides Portland police officers time to de-stress and debrief before they give an official statement about use of force at an incident that they were involved in. And so the 48-hour rule is not a rule that is in effect in any other police agency across the country, nor is it something that community members can use, except I would propose that maybe we should. If you are stopped by a Portland police officer, tell them that you are implementing the 48-hour rule and you will not talk to them until after that time because you're too traumatized to have the conversation then. I'm saying that facetiously, but the reality is Portland police officers have that right. No other police force has that right, but Portland police officers has it in their contract. Portland police also currently has in its contract that nobody other than a police officer can interview a Portland police officer. That is a independent police review requested change. Right now there is silence about whether or not that change is in the current contract. The other thing is police training. Police training continues to be a big problem. If there's an incident that gets recorded or goes to court, Portland police say, well, that's how we were trained, so therefore we did everything right. Clearly, we have isolated people who are being trained to be Portland police officers because we only have Portland police officers training them. We need to open up that training so that we bring in more community members and make it more community-centric. We want police officers that are community police officers, not robocops, not the occupying forces that we keep churning out of Portland police training program and curricula. We need to fix that training so that we're actually creating humans that have empathy and understanding of the community that they are sworn to protect and serve. So back to the phone line. Hello, Gordon. Welcome to KBOO.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. I'm just going to start out saying that I've had, in my 44 years of life, pretty good dealings with police officers. I've had positive interactions, even though I'm getting a ticket, and I'm thanking them for the ticket.
Right.
It's always been pretty cordial as long as you cooperate. And, you know what? You did something wrong. Here's the old saying, if you do the crime, you do the time. So if you're speeding, you're going to get a ticket, so shut up about it and take your ticket and don't be a jerk about it. But these police officers coming out of the wars are damaged. They're damaged goods from the core of their soul because they have been destroyed as a human being to be a murderer in the military. So when these murderers come out of the military and they have to be tuned back into society, I don't believe that their programs are deep enough and that are helping these people come home to become human again. And that's one of the key components is that. But if you really look at what's going on, the police were created by the corporations. There were only sheriffs that we owned, that were our people, that were doing the streets. The corporations created the police officers to protect their assets and their money. And that is what they're doing today. We are collateral damage. They're here to protect the rich, and they will do whatever it takes because they want that paycheck. So what we have to do is we've got to change capitalism. because capitalism is creating poverty, and poverty is creating crime. So this is where the core of the problem is.
So I disagree. Capitalism. I disagree.
Because the poor are backed up into the corner, and they have nothing Hello. To do but to go.
Hi, are we talking? I disagree. I want to go back to one of your earlier statements. If you do the crime, do the time. The difference between doing a crime or doing something that is a traffic violation, it's not a crime, it's a violation. There's a traffic violation. There's a set of procedures that police are supposed to follow to determine if, in fact, you have committed a traffic violation. I am talking about people who are walking on the street or sitting on the street or appear to be homeless or appear to have mental health issues. These are people that are being targeted and brutalized by Portland police officers. The reason that there aren't more reports is because these are the people least likely to file a complaint with our incompetent IPR system. These are the people that are least likely to be able to go get a lawyer and actually sue the city of Portland. But these are the people most likely to be brutalized on the street because guess what? No one is standing up for their right to just exist on the street. It's not a crime to exist on the street, even though we're trying to make it a crime to sit on the sidewalk in the city of Portland. Back to the phone line. Hello, Mike. Welcome to KBOO. Hello, Mike?
I've noticed. Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I've noticed. I've lived in apartments most of my life, and then downtown Vancouver, Washington, in a house apartment, my first apartment. So, you know, you'd run into a lot of different neighbors and folks, a lot of different stories, and thankfully, no, extreme issues. But you know, you get a fair amount of calls from to police, and then they come out and handle this or handle that. In my experience, the county sheriffs in Clark County here seem to have more of that human element that I think you were referring to.
Yes, yes. Washington
maybe,
County as well.
Yeah, so my question in your experience, because Lord knows you're experienced in your studies and outreach and activism, what is the difference in the culture and the training that kind of makes that possible, or what's the difference? Thanks.
Thank you. I really, really appreciate that question. You know, there are some excellent police training programs in Oregon. Ron Louie, who used to be the sheriff in Washington County, and he's been retired twice, has done some phenomenal work around training his officers how to identify community members suffering from PTSD. He's done fabulous work of actually helping them learn empathetic behavior when they're engaging people in the community. There have been so many times that there have been issues in Washington County that I have thought, if this had happened in Portland, that person would be dead. And in Washington County, they were taken into custody. They were taken to the mental health facility if they needed mental health treatment. And everybody went home or everybody went somewhere that night and nobody died. There are way too many times in Portland that unarmed people die and then there's no accountability for that taking place. And so there are models, there are police forces, there are retired police chiefs and sheriffs who have the capacity to come in and truly reform Portland Police Bureau and fix what's broken. What we don't have is the political will to make that happen yet. And I don't know what it's going to take to get us the political will to make that happen. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Hello, Nancy. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi, Joanne. How are you this morning?
I am good. How about you, Nancy?
Well, I'm great, and I'm happy to get through to talk to you. I was so happy when I heard the promo earlier in the week that you were going to be covering this topic again. I like those promos, and I like that you're just sticking like a bird to a horse on this topic because
Thank
you. You do a great job of informing those of us who have not had negative interactions with the police, of just a bigger picture of what's going on.
Thank you.
I have a couple of questions and comments. I'll be really brief if I can.
Okay.
One is, I think it is going to take a lot of support from the other than the non-white community of Portland, if I can put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
All of us who live in the Portland city limits, who are listening to your voice, can't fail to be aware of what these problems are, and that they need to pay attention to what any suggestions you have for us, because I remember back in the old days when you had a co-host that you would argue with over, you know, go through the channels and
that's right,
work
that's
the
right.
system and get this thing changed. And as long as we're trying to do that, what it comes down to for me is, okay, we've got Charlie Hales, who seems to be absent more than he's present. And even if we leave a message with whoever's taking messages at his office, I'd like anything specific you can tell us that we might be able to do, especially with the other city council members.
Yes.
When you call in, you talk to, you know, one of the people that work for them, that's fine. Or you can send an email. But if you could suggest ways to contact them,
yes,
and exactly how to approach them and how to put pressure on them, mm-hmm, about, you know, I liked what you said earlier about, you know, it's on their heads the next time somebody gets killed if they go ahead and keep rubber stamping the current setup with the police union contracts. I don't know if they vote on it or who votes on it.
Yes, they will.
The non-review board and so forth. So I'll get,
yes,
off the air. That's what I hope, well, you can tell us, okay?
Thank you so much for your call, and I will try to answer all those questions for you. And the first thing I want to say is, you know, with the city of Portland's form of government, we have commissioners who run bureaus. However, with the police union contract and with the Department of Justice settlement agreement, the entire city council is on the hook for Portland Police Bureau activity and transformation. And therefore, each city council member should be contacted via email, by phone, in person, set an appointment to go in and talk to them. Each city council member and the mayor should be asked about these contract provisions, these new proposed contract provisions, and make sure that the city council will not support any contract that minimizes drug use of Portland police officers. That is absolutely unacceptable. And so that's the first thing that anybody and everybody can do. The other thing is, unfortunately, with the city of Portland, you never know when things will be scheduled on the council agenda. So you have to keep going to the city clerk's website to determine. On Friday afternoon, you see the council agenda for the following week. So this contract should be coming up in early December. And so we need to keep track of when that will come in front of the city council. When it comes in front of the city council, we should expect to fill that city council chambers with people who want to weigh in on whether or not we want a police force that could be under could be using drugs and we don't know about it. And then if we find out about it, we're just going to forgive it. It's absolutely appalling. So those are things that you could do right now. I would encourage anybody that's listening to go to the Portland Police Association's website, because again, the website actually has really good information on the use of force. It has information on the Department of Justice settlement agreement, even though it hasn't been filed yet. And last but not least, there will be a federal fairness hearing sometime early next year that the public will have the first opportunity to weigh in on the federal settlement agreement that was negotiated behind closed doors with Sam Adams and the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division from D.C. And so this will be the public's first opportunity to weigh in. And it's my hope that if enough of the public weighs in, the federal judge will be moved to strengthen the settlement agreement rather than reward Portland police for really egregious behavior. Okay, back to the phone line. Hello, Naya. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How about you?
Fine. This is the first I've heard of this whole Target thing. I've got a kind of a practical question for the street gangster, and it might make you laugh, but I'm serious. If a police officer sees me stealing a purse or hitting someone or doing something really horrible, are they allowed to act as a police officer while they're not really a police officer? They can't really have it both ways. Will they have to call a police officer on duty and report a crime rather than acting on it themselves if they are, in fact, being paid by Target to do some other job?
That's my question. No, that is absolutely true, right? They would be just like you or I as a regular community member, right? If they're even if they're in uniform, which seems, you know, it seems kind of ludicrous, but you're absolutely right. They would not. They would have to call an on-duty cop to come and deal with whatever.
So somebody could resist arrest, so to speak, from a police officer being paid and on the clock by Target. I wonder if that person would be charged with resisting arrest, because I wonder how blurry the lines are with these people.
You know, that's a great question, right? Because if you try to escape or run a cop, that's right. Not resisting arrest, right?
No, it's just running away.
It's just running away, exactly.
But if I fight back, what's that going to do? What, am I assaulting an officer, or am I just trying to get away from a crazed rent-a-cop?
You raise some really good questions, and I think that's the slippery slope that we go down when the chief makes exceptions for private businesses. And you may remember, we already have the Portland Business Association paying for DA's time downtown. So if you're downtown, the chances of a DA working for a private business interest, the police working for private business interests, is significantly increased because of these little special contracts that the business community seems to be able to get for specialized services. Well, but thank you.
Okay, that tells me a couple things. Either we're not paying them enough through our taxes, or they're just getting greedy, and I don't know what the answer is.
Well, I can tell you, we're certainly paying them much more than a living wage, so that's not the problem. And supposedly, they're well-trained, so that's not the problem. But we still have community members who continue to die and get abused at their hands, so that's the problem. Thank you for your call. Have a great day. We're just about out of time, so I want to give you a little taste of what's coming up later on KBLO. At 9 is Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to hear with Teresa Mitchell. She'll focus on the Kennedy assassination. At 9:30 on Fight the Empire, host Per Fargan interviews David Talbot, author of Brothers, The Hidden History of the Kennedy Years. Looks like a Kennedy day. Talbot is a journalist and founder of Salon.com. At 10, hear Air Cascadia headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoint is off today. Instead, we'll hear Law and Disorder, featuring a discussion about how local police departments are expanding mass surveillance and data collection and retention. We also hear an interview with James Douglas, author of JFK and the Unspeakable, Why He Died and Why It Matters. At 11 on Between the Covers, the guest is local writer Ken Samsell about his new novel, This Is Between Us. At 11:30, we'll hear an interview with creative writing professor Ellen Pollack about her recent article, Why Are There So Few Women in Science? Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. You made KBOO possible. If you haven't become a member yet, just go online to kboo.fm, click the tip jar, and it will walk you through the process. Just that simple. We're going to go back to the phone line. Hello, Lee. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi, thank you for the program.
You're welcome, Lee.
I live east of Salem on rural property, and I have a history of mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
I will not come to Portland because I don't want to end up like James Chaffee.
Yes, I can certainly understand that.
Well, I hope the business community in Portland understands that, because I would come to places like Powell's,
right,
and other locations to purchase materials and things that are not available, you know, in my area. And, you know, I just don't want my behaviors misinterpreted.
Right.
Thank you.
I certainly understand that. Thank you. And I think you would be a great person to help train Portland police officers, because they need to be more connected with the community. But unfortunately, we have a police chief who thinks only police are capable of training police. But
well, thank you for your program. Thank you for your efforts.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. 503-231-8187. We are on the speed round. It's almost over. Hello, Greg. We're just about out of time.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hey, disappointed to hear you on this steroid rant again. People that are on drugs are not dangerous. And because a drug is illegal, that doesn't make the people that are on it dangerous.
Steroid.
Anabolic steroids have a tremendous use. They actually, you know, are given to people medically to heal wounds.
Yes.
There's a lot of different kinds of anabolic steroids. There's also HGH. There's been a lot of advertising the last couple of years for testosterone. All these things are available legally, as is coffee on every other corner. And we have the guys selling 5-hour energy drinks on every convenience store in the entire country.
And so your point?
Cops can be stimulated by a lot of things that are legal.
Right.
It has nothing to do with steroids. The aggressiveness, though, while it can be exaggerated and exasperated by the stimulants, is because they're afraid of the people they're supposed to be protecting. This is what you need to focus on. Instead of the, you know, the major thrust of the drug war propaganda is to make people afraid. Well, if somebody's acting funny, they must be on drugs, therefore we got to kill them if you're a cop. Now, this attitude has permeated the entire culture. This is the reason why the cops have to be aggressive to people they perceive as possessing or selling illegal drugs.
Well, that's not even why they're aggressive, right? I mean, the people I talked about today, the new 112 cases, doesn't have anything to do with being aggressive. It has to do with looking like you may have a mental health issue, looking like you're homeless, looking
correct,
like you're powerless.
They're acting differently, and they may be on drugs, or they might have a mental health issue. This does not mean that they're dangerous. So cops, that if you drug test cops, you're putting them in the same category. We have this thing, everybody wants to be drug tested. Gosh, if you don't have any drugs in your system, then you must be okay, right? Unless, of course, you're into child porn. But if you're, you know, tested positive for drugs, then it's like a litmus test.
Okay, I'm going to have
to... It's not true in culture. It's also not
true
in
cops. I'm
going
to have to cut you off because I disagree with you, and we're almost out of time, and I don't want to leave with the impression that somehow cops taking drugs is a good thing. It's never going to be a good thing to have cops taking steroids. We know steroids increases aggressiveness in individuals, and I don't want cops on the street that are already aggressive having steroids in their system. If you, as an employer, says that steroids is illegal and you will be fired if you have it in your system, then that's the way it should be. There should be no exception to that. We're going to try to squeeze one more caller in. Hello, Karen, can you be short, sweet, to the point?
I will try. Just real quickly, I worked in the crisis line for 8 years back in the 80s, and at the time the Seattle police were so helpful. They would come out to the suicide, the person calling, and there was never any altercations or... I'm just saying that what ends up happening is just this bundle of reactions, and nothing is productive for anybody.
Oh, on that note, we're going to end the program. Thank you so much for your call. Thank you, listeners, for listening. I'm Joanne Hodesty. I'll be off next week celebrating Thanksgiving. See you the week after. Have a great day.
Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's a
and good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. Just a minute now before 9 o'clock. Coming up in a half hour on Fight the Empire, host Per Fogering interviews David Talbot, author of Brothers, The Hidden History of the Kennedy Years. Talbot is a journalist and the founder of Salon.com. Coming up at 10 o'clock today, hear Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. 10:15 will bring us, instead of flashpoints, we'll hear Law and Disorder, featuring a discussion about how local police departments are expanding mass surveillance and data collection and retention. We also hear an interview with James Douglas, author of JFK and the Unspeakable, Why He Died and Why It Matters. Coming up at 11 this morning on Between the Covers, the guest today is local writer Kevin Semcel about his new novel, This Is Between Us. And at 11:30, we'll hear an interview with creative writing professor Eileen Pollack about her recent article, Why Are There Still So Few Women in Science? But first, at 9, it's Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to hear, with Teresa Mitchell. She'll focus today on the Kennedy assassination. That is coming up next on KBOO.
Tune into Between the Covers every Thursday at 11 a.m. to hear interviews with locally and nationally known authors from both fiction and nonfiction. Between the Covers, only on KBOO Portland.
Hi, this is Per Fogring. Friday, November 22nd, I'll be hosting the Morning Talk radio show. We'll discuss the Kennedy assassination and theories about who done it and why. That's Friday, November 22nd at 8 a.m. on KBOO, your radio station.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Yellow Pages, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit pdxgyp.com.
Uncle Sam, hey, how are you? Good to see you. Hey, how's Lady Liberty and the kids, huh? Oh, that's great, man. Hey, I appreciate those aircraft carriers you're sending into the Philippines. No, really, that is all right. You know,